Welcome to the Life Rediscovered podcast, where we talk about life, faith, and everything in between. I'm your host, Ryan Reevely, and I'm so glad to have you on this journey, and I hope that you enjoy the ride. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Life Rediscovered podcast, where we talk about life, faith, and everything in between. I'm your host, Ryan Reevely, and I'm happy to have you with me again for another episode of this podcast. We're going to really appreciate the support. You listening in keeps this train rolling and moving forward, and so I hope that you enjoy today's episode. So today's episode, we are going to end this little mini-series focused on Easter. And we started with, you know, just kind of the background of Easter, where it comes from, you know, the name of it and where we get the traditions from. And you know, kind of questioning, questioning, do we put these traditional celebratory elements above the real story of Easter, which is the resurrection of Christ? And if we do so, you know, again, I'm not one of those pastors who say you can't do Easter egg hunts, you can't do Easter baskets for your kids, you can't do all that stuff. But if that takes the place of the real story of Easter, where that's the sole focus, we just see it as a holiday about a bunny, then we need to take a step back and reevaluate and go, okay, maybe we are doing too much. Maybe we are putting too much emphasis on these traditional holiday festivities, and we should be more focused on the real story of Easter. And then the last couple of episodes, we looked at the gospel accounts a couple weeks ago, looked at the gospel accounts. Are they reliable? Are they reliable eyewitness accounts of the resurrection? And I didn't get too much in detail, but I looked at a couple of things that I think are evidence in themselves found within the gospel accounts that show that these are reliable testimonies of the resurrection of Christ. And then last week we looked at why does what else is there? You know, what else is there to show that the resurrection really happened? And really looking at the disciples and how they were completely changed before Christ died and then after Christ died and rose again is evidence in itself that there was something to this resurrection account, that Jesus really did rise from the dead, because they were completely changed. They went from being scared, afraid that they would be next on the cross, to bold eyewitnesses in the middle of Jerusalem saying, Jesus, whom you crucified, has risen again, and he is the Messiah. So powerful, powerful stuff. But today I'm actually going to do something a little bit different than I've done before. And I've never really done this, but I was working on this the other day, and I thought, you know, this would be a good way to end this series of podcasts on the resurrection. I'm actually going to share a little bit of my Easter message. So, Easter time again. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that Easter time for pastors, much like Christmas time for pastors, is a challenging time to sit down and write a message that is just not the same as last year. And it's the same story. You know, Christmas time, we focus on the birth of Christ. Easter, we focus on, obviously, the resurrection, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. And so how do we communicate that in a fresh way without changing the story itself, without compromising the account, and without, you know, inserting too much of our own ideas into, because that's the challenge with being a pastor, right? That's the challenge of any kind of messages, is we don't want to insert, or we shouldn't, we shouldn't insert our own views into the story and make it about what we want it to say rather than what it actually says. And so that's one of the greatest challenges of any message on a Sunday, but especially with Christmas and Easter messages, because you don't want to dilute the story itself. You don't want to change anything in the story itself. And so that can be quite the challenge. And you're talking to, usually Easter is a time where new people come to your church, people who don't go to church on a regular basis, or maybe haven't come before. And so you want to communicate this great message, this great story in about 25 to 30 minutes. And I know some pastors go longer than that, but I think most people, their attention spans about, you know, 30 minutes is at the most, maybe even less than that. I think it gets less and less every year, especially with the internet age and what social media does to us in the internet. But that's a whole different subject. But so I'm going to use this, you know, I usually use a script for this podcast and I kind of read through that script. I try not to read word for word because I don't want it to sound robotic. So today my script is the message I'm going to be delivering. So as of this recording, so this will come out the, if you listen to this, when you're listening to this episode, it'll be Tuesday of Easter week. And so this, I'll be doing this message that Sunday of Easter week. You know, the thing about the Easter story is it tells the story of the greatest event in history. And what's interesting about this story, is that it didn't register really on the worldly radar of the time. You know, if something like this happened today, if the resurrection happened today, we would hear about it. We would see it on X, formerly known as Twitter. We'd see it on Instagram. There'd probably be people live streaming it on YouTube or whatever other, like Twitch or whatever other social media platforms there are. There'd be people on Facebook talking about it. It would be all over the place as soon as it happened. But back in the first century, 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, because Israel is still not a big country, and it wasn't a big country then. It was pretty insignificant. Under the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was vast and huge and large and had such an expanding reach that Israel was kind of lost in the shuffle. It was an important country because of the location that it's in, because it was kind of a bridge to other countries, and it opened up trade to other countries and things like that. So it helped with ancient commerce. But as far as a country that would have any kind of social impact, political impact, even religious impact, Israel was pretty insignificant to the, you know, Roman Empire and to the ancient world as a whole because it was so small. So I think some outside of Israel might have heard about this upstart rabbi who was going around teaching, healing, doing some miracles. But I don't know if it would necessarily make people stop and think, at least outside of Israel. But and they might have heard about this upstart rabbi who caught the attention of the Roman governor and then who quickly took care of him before a rebellion could start. Because that was, you know, the Roman governor is obviously Pontius Pilate. And he had to think to himself, like, I don't want this rebellion to happen. I don't want this to get out of hand, because as a governor, he's responsible to keep the peace, because that's what Rome was all about, Pax Romana, which means Roman peace, and they kept that peace with an iron fist, and so these governors were expected to do so if any kind of rebellion tried to happen, to squash it quickly. And so Pilate is sitting there looking like, well, if I don't do what these Jews want and get rid of this Jesus, then they might rebel against me. And he's kind of doing the math here and says, well, Jesus has, I don't know how many followers. He may not even known about the disciples. And he's sitting there looking at Jesus going, well, he's kind of by himself. So if I just get rid of him, then I'll appease the Jews and they won't start a rebellion. If I let him go, then they, and Pilate wasn't necessarily concerned about the followers of Jesus because he didn't really see them anywhere. And he thought to himself, if I let Jesus go, this Jewish crowd in front of me, this angry, worked up Jewish crowd may start a rebellion. And that's the last thing that Pilate wanted. Not to say that Pilate was scared for his life from the Jews. He was more scared of his life from what Caesar may do if Caesar heard that he couldn't control Jerusalem. So that was one of the problems. But outside of this insular location of Israel, life kept moving forward in the ancient world like it always did. But that is until the world started to hear about this new movement called The Way that was centered around this Jewish rabbi. It was growing. And they might have thought to themselves, like, wait a minute, I thought I heard about this rabbi who got crucified. So why is this movement growing now? Why is it spreading? Because word spread that the rabbi who was supposedly crucified was no longer dead, but alive, and his tomb was empty. See, the resurrection, the message of the resurrection of Jesus could not be stopped. The Jews who opposed Jesus, they couldn't deny that the tomb was empty. So they spread the word that the disciples stole the body, but that seemed pretty far-fetched. And I think we talked about that in another episode, but it'd be pretty far-fetched for these 11 disciples. There were 12. Judas betrayed Jesus and then hung himself. There were 11 disciples and some women. There might have been some others there too. But the 11 main disciples, they were hiding behind closed doors, as we talked about. They were not trained soldiers, except for maybe Simon the Zealot. Zealots were known for their ways of warfare and violence. But the rest of them were fishermen, tax collectors. You know, they were just normal men. They were normal guys. They weren't going to go against a trained Roman guard. And a Roman guard would be, you know, a few soldiers standing outside the tomb and have to fight them off and defeat them and probably kill them and then roll the stone away and then take the body of Jesus. It just seems very far-fetched that the disciples would take the body. Even a man named, and you know, we talked about last week that these disciples, they were changed. They were now more bold and more courageous. And even a man named Saul, one who was adamantly opposed to the message of Jesus, was completely changed by the resurrected Christ. And he gave up his shackles so that he could preach Christ and him crucified throughout the ancient world. I mean, he would later be known as Paul, and he spent the rest of his life, probably the majority of his life, at least more than half, traveling the ancient world, going through hardships, death threats all the time. He was stoned at one point and left for dead. He was shipwrecked a couple times. He was bitten by a viper. He went through so much hardship, but yet he kept going to preach the message that Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again. That's why the story of the resurrection is so important. Because we're here 2,000 years later, over 2,000 years later. And that same message is preached throughout the ancient world. People gather where they can celebrate the resurrected Christ. People go through hardships and struggles for the sake of that message. There are people still today in other countries who are losing their life for the sake of the gospel because they won't back down. They won't deny it. They'll stand there and say, do your worst, but we're not going to deny that Jesus is the Christ and he came and died and rose again. They're not going to deny that, no matter what people may do to them. It is the message of the resurrection has completely changed people for centuries. Now, I don't know where you are with Jesus today, but the message that you will hear on this podcast, or if you go to church on Sunday, if you're in this area, you're more than welcome to come to ours. But the message you'll hear on that Sunday, the Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is the same message that has been preached for 2,000 years. Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again. Without that message, and here is the crux of this episode, here is the focus of this episode. Without that message, hope is gone. Without that message, we are dead in our sins, meaning there is no hope to get to wipe the stain of sin clean. We are indebted because of sin, and there's no hope. There's no one coming around, because without the message of Jesus, without the gospel, without the resurrected Christ, there is no one coming around who's going to be able to pay that debt, because we're not able to pay that debt. Without that message, we are the biggest fools of all. You know, Paul, I mentioned Paul, who was once named Saul, and he spent most of his ministry life with non-Jewish people. He was Jewish, but he spent most of his ministry with non-Jewish people because that's what God called him to do. He said, I'm going to save you, and this is what I want you to do. This is the mission I have for you. You're going to go to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, and preach the gospel. And so Paul had to be around people that he wasn't necessarily used to being around, because he grew up in Israel, and he was a very adamant and staunch Jew. And I'm sure he interacted with Gentiles because he was a Roman citizen, and he was a very learned man. He was a very educated man. And so I'm sure that he was around Gentiles before this, but he had to be around them a lot more, and he had to learn, understand their ways, their culture, their language, everything, in order to communicate the gospel to them. And one of the things he would run into is Greek philosophy, and there's a group called the Epicureans, and they had this philosophy that said, live it up because you only get one life. And that, basically, that's what they said. More so, they would say, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So it's basically the same idea, because we have that same philosophy today, because we say, live it up because you only get one life. You only get one life to live, so you might as well live it to the fullest, enjoying everything. Now, the Epicureans, their philosophy stemmed from avoiding pain and suffering. And they said, enjoy life while you have it, because death will come for us all, and it will be sooner than we think, and that is and there's finality in that, and there's no way to avoid it. They wanted people to live life to the fullest while you still could, before death came knocking. And so it's very similar, again, like we have that philosophy today, because we say live how you want to live because tomorrow we die, and that won't be so bad because it just means life's over. So you don't want to be at the end of your life and have regrets and say, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that. But if that were the case, if death wasn't such a big deal, then why would Jesus come to specifically defeat it? Why was it an enemy to Jesus? Like he specifically came to go to the cross. That was his whole mission. He had to get to the cross and then rise again to defeat death. It was an enemy. The reason death is an enemy is because death infiltrated God's perfect creation. Death crept in when Adam and Eve chose death in the Garden of Eden, and we've been doing it ever since, because they ate from the tree that they were not supposed to eat from, and the consequences of that was they would die. If we are born to live and then simply to die, then what is the purpose of that? What is the purpose of life? Why go through it? There's no purpose. I think some of that philosophy, some of that Epicurean philosophy, is motivation behind, you know, like abortion rights today. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm all about pro-life, and I'm against abortion. And I think people convince themselves that abortion's okay because, well, there's so much pain and suffering in the world, why bring a baby into it? And I've actually seen that. They, you know, there's people that think like, okay, we should stop having kids because why bring, it's almost abusive to bring a kid into a world that has so much pain and suffering. But you see, that philosophy stems from what death did to the world. Because death stole the purpose of life. Death came to kill any hope that life may hold. Death came to sabotage creation. Death is an enemy that had to be defeated, and the only way it was to be defeated was Jesus on the cross and then rising again. You see, when we surrender our lives to Jesus and believing that he is the one who came to die for our sins and rise again to defeat death for us, death is forced to let go of us. We still die, yes, we still pass on from this life because these bodies just give out on us or accidents happen or whatever it may be. We still die, leave this life behind, but death will not hold on to us forever. You know, there's a story of, maybe you've heard the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Well, if you read that whole story, Jesus waited until Lazarus actually died. Jesus knew that Lazarus was dying. And so he waited and he went there. And when he came to Lazarus's place, he meets Martha, Lazarus's sister. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Martha's like, "Oh, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." But Jesus said to her, "It's like, you know, he's going to rise again, right? It's like, I am the resurrection of life. Do you believe this?" That's the question, right? That's the ultimate question. Do you believe this? And Martha said, "Well, yeah, I know that he's going to rise again at the resurrection." And Jesus goes to the place where they laid Lazarus, and he sees people crying and hurting, and he even weeps. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. It's powerful. Why is that? Because Jesus hadn't gotten to the cross yet. But then here's the powerful part. Jesus wanted everyone there to know. Everyone gathered there to know that death was on notice. And that's why he said, "Lazarus, come out." Yeah, Jesus could have gotten there a few days prior, healed Lazarus before he even died, and then people would be like, "Oh, this is a miracle. This is great." But how much more powerful of a miracle when Jesus puts death on notice with witnesses there. When he says, "Lazarus, come out." He basically told death, "Let him go." You see, we're still going to die from this life, but if we believe in Jesus, Jesus says to death, "Let them go." Because here's the thing about what Jesus did with death. Jesus, because here's how God works. He makes beauty from ashes, as Scripture tells us. He takes what is broken and makes it new. He turns what is meant for evil into good. Death came into the world to make things bad and hopeless. So God said, Okay, I see what you're doing. Here's what I'm going to do with you. Think about planting a seed, right? When you plant a seed in the ground, that seed has to die in order to release what is inside of it, which is life. Jesus was like a seed. He had to die in order to bring out what was inside of him, which is life. And this is the gospel message. This is why we celebrate the resurrection, because the death and resurrection of Jesus makes new life possible. Jesus' death on the cross atones for our sins. It pays the penalty for our sins, which is death. Because of Jesus, we are forgiven and released from the snare of death. We are new creations. We are released from that seed that encapsulates us. That seed is death, and that seed is holding on to us. But then Jesus dies, we believe in him, and death has to let go. Because once was dead, the seed is now alive. New life. You know, the hard part for us today is that we still feel the sting of death. We still feel that sting when a loved one passes away, because we want them to be here. We don't want them to move on, because we don't see them anymore. We don't interact with them anymore. But here's the thing. If they believe in Jesus, we believe in Jesus. Guess what? This is only temporary, because that sting of death will come to an end one day. Paul even writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." When we believe in Jesus, there will become a day when he will return. Everyone will hear this trumpet blast. Because in the ancient world, trumpets announced the coming of a king. And so there will be a trumpet blast announcing the return of the king. When that trumpet sounds, the end of death will have come. In Revelation, it talks about how Jesus will take death and throw it into the lake of fire, never to be heard from again. Death will lose its sting, because the one whom death could not hold will return to finally do away with. with death forever. See, you know, if you have a bully, right? Well, a bully is only going to bully someone who he knows is not stronger than him. But when a bully encounters somebody who is stronger than him, the bully backs down. Death is a bully. Death's been a bully for a long time, until Jesus came along. Death couldn't bully Jesus because death couldn't hold him. And what Jesus did with death, he kicked death right in the teeth. And then death now knows its days are numbered, because Jesus will come again one day and get rid of death forever. And that's what's powerful about the resurrection of Jesus. That's what's powerful about the story. Because the resurrection tells death, you can't hold us. You can't hold the followers of Jesus. Death is not the end. Death is just the beginning. Because what the resurrection of Jesus does, it turns death, what death means for evil, into good. And when we die in this life, we wake up in the next, which lasts forever, where death will not be able to hold us anymore. Well, thanks again for listening to the Life Rediscovered podcast, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure that you share this podcast, share it with those who you think would benefit from it, would enjoy it. Leave me some reviews. Those are always appreciated. And I hope you have a great Easter week. And again, if you're in the area, if you want to come by our church, Jonestown Bible Church, you're more than welcome to come. And you'll probably hear some of the same stuff I just shared with you on the podcast on that Sunday. But I hope that you're doing well. And until next time, see ya. Thank you so much for listening to Life Rediscovered. Make sure that you subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a new episode. Also, if you'd like to support this podcast, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Ryan Reevely. I would love your support. And again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.